The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 3. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside, seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
I have chosen the Old Testament lesson to speak on today. I will not read it again. To begin, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Where did they hide? Why? Was it really because they were naked? Or was it because they knew that they had disobeyed God, had sinned, and were heavy with guilt? And does this mean that God is not omnipotent? Absolutely not. This and the following questions are rhetorical. They are for teaching, as much for us as well for Adam and Eve. His question was an opportunity for repentance and sorrow over sin. It also shows that the law really is written on our hearts. They knew that they had committed sin. In his law, God comes to each of us with the same question. Where are you? Are you inside the circle with Jesus or outside with the Pharisees and the scribes? Are you putting your trust in things which are seen, which are temporary? Or are you putting your trust in things which are unseen, which are eternal? Do you truly fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Or have other people or things taken the top spot in your heart and in your life? When the law that is written in your hearts calls out that you are sinning, do you listen to it or ignore it? Do we just come right out and admit that we've sinners? Or do we refuse to look in the mirror and try to hide our sin from God? Now, when God called out, he called out to Adam alone. It's another example where the man is the head of the household, not as superior over his wife, but as accountable first. This also shows when God questions the participants, first Adam, then Eve, then the serpent. How does Adam and Eve respond to the questions? They don't take responsibility for their actions. They try to blame others. Adam starts with blaming Eve, and then even takes a shot at God himself. The woman whom you gave me, then Eve does the same with the serpent. The pattern of blame passing has continued throughout human history. One of the strongest human desires after the fall of our first parents into sin has been to explain away sin to make excuses. There are plenty of easy targets, but God knows our sins, all our sins, those we know, those we deny, and even those we are not conscious of. There is no deflecting it. It is ours to ask for. Luckily, we don't have to. Jesus, as the perfect sacrifice, paid the price for our sins. Now, God could have ended it right there. Adam and Eve had disobeyed him, but he doesn't. But he does let them and us know that there are consequences, starting with the serpent. He curses it. And what is a curse? According to Webster, it is to call upon divine or supernatural power to send injury upon, to imprecate evil upon. And the serpent was, "On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat." But not Adam and Eve. They weren't cursed. We see in the following verses that it's the ground, the earth itself, that is cursed. And all of humanity must now deal with the results of that curse, the result of that first sin. The last words of our text give us a glimpse into the gospel message. The words God speaks are not directed just to the serpent, but also to the devil. The woman's offspring would bruise the serpent's head. He would destroy the serpent's power permanently, though the serpent would also bruise his heel. God fulfilled this promise by sending his son into the world. Jesus was the promised offspring of the woman, born to the Virgin Mary to defeat the devil. At the battle of the ages on the cross, the old serpent Satan struck Jesus' heel. Jesus suffering and death on the cross was real and painful. He endured all the torment of hell that we deserve for all of our sins. But Jesus' suffering wasn't permanent. He rose from the dead. And by the power of his death and resurrection, Jesus has crushed the serpent's head. By his death, Jesus bound the strong man and stole us away from his house of hell. And by his resurrection, Jesus declares his victory over sin and death. Satan has no power over us anymore, and it's by that power of this promise, made and kept in Christ, that the Lord, the God of all grace and mercy, restored our relationship with him. Lastly, many of us identify the serpent as the devil, but nowhere in Scripture does this validate this assumption. The serpent was doing his bidding, and like all of Satan's minions, pays the price. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.